You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Getting married. It's a position a lot of women find themselves in. It's a position I found myself in about a year ago. It can be a lot of work. There are 2.5 million weddings in the United States each year, but that's 2.5 million ways to celebrate your love how you want, 2.5 million ways to wear your hair and makeup and your white dress. It doesn't even have to be white. The only rule in wedding planning is there are no rules. So my lovelies, if you are planning a wedding and you are totally stressed, listen to this episode. Enjoy, relax. It can be fun, it can also be horrible. I'm gonna keep it 100% honest with my guests like I always do, but it's your thing, do it how you want. Hello, hello, it's Brooke DeVard. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I'm sitting across from two blushing brides-to-be, Avery and Stephanie, longtime friends. When did you guys get engaged? Both within a year, the past year?
Yeah, I got engaged right after Christmas last year in Colombia.
Okay, great. So that's Avery speaking. And Stephanie?
I got engaged in June on the rooftop of our building in New York.
Oh, that's so cute. Okay, so I'm really excited for this episode because I think it's going to be part therapy, part confessional.
Wedding
planning is a very unique mind state, and being a woman about to get married with all of the fanfare and crap that we've all grown up with in terms of pressure and projections about being the perfect bride, it's a very unique place to be as a woman, and a lot of women find themselves in this place. I think one of the reasons why I'm so excited to talk to you guys is because throughout the wedding planning process, you're never really able to live in the present moment. So when you guys told your friends that you got engaged, what was the first question you got?
Oh my God, when?
Yeah, when, and then people start asking immediately, when's the wedding?
Yep, what is that?
Right, you're like, the ring has been on my finger for 30 minutes and you're asking me what venue I've chosen? It's like,
literally 30 minutes. It was insane.
Yeah.
People I thought weren't crazy asked me after 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. And then once you do pick a date and a venue, then all of the other questions come. And even at my wedding, which was a year ago now, people were asking, so where are you guys going on honeymoon? It's like you're always kind of like projected into the future.
Totally.
And I'm sure it's a matter of time before people start asking, when are we going to have kids? So it's nice to actually like enjoy the present moment and celebrate it. So we have champagne. Cheers to you guys.
Cheers.
Okay, we're going to play a fun little drinking game.
Uh-oh, down.
Okay. Drink if you grew up dreaming about your wedding. Okay, they're reluctantly taking a sip. So you guys, it's not something that you thought about as a young girl, like what your wedding was going to be like.
Thought about it a little bit. I mean, everyone kind of thinks about, I guess I thought about like the father-daughter dance,
well,
like having that like family moment.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I like flowers and like dresses and stuff were very foreign to me to like wrap my head around when I actually got engaged.
I can identify with that. I thought of a lot of like a lot of vibe things that I really liked, you know, mm-hmm. weddings that I went to that I really liked, kind of how, you know, the groom and the bride interacted with each other, how kind of mm-hmm. warm it felt, or how sterile it felt. Mm. Like, I like that. I kind of just mentally sort of pick up on those kinds of things, and I guess when Ben and I started getting serious, I would think like maybe distantly, but it wasn't so much like I'm going to have a billion white roses.
Yes. Okay. So you didn't have your Pinterest board ready before he proposed.
No, I never bought a bridal magazine actually until I got engaged.
I know. Bridal magazines. Yeah. It's like a novelty thing, right? Yeah. Like you get engaged and you're like, I have permission to buy brides.
Right.
And so you read it once.
I actually bought a lot of bridal magazines before being engaged.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
I don't know. I think it was more of me just being like very immature at like 20 and like wanting to look at pink table settings than like actually wedding planning.
Right.
And now doing the actual wedding planning, you realize like how ridiculous those magazines are and how like stupid all the advice is.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of bad advice in those magazines. Okay, next question. Drink if you've tried on more than 30 wedding dresses. Okay, Stephanie immediately reached. Avery's contemplating.
Probably no.
Okay, Stephanie, talk to me because I did the rounds.
Yeah.
I went to Kleinfeld's. Yep. I went to all of these places. I found them all so obnoxious.
Oh my gosh. You name it, I've been there, honestly.
Okay.
I bought my 74th wedding dress.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I bought
it. It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's gorgeous. No spoilers, so we won't discuss the actual dress, but it's insanely beautiful.
You're right. Like, the entire experience is just not what you want it to be. Like, I had this vision of, like, showing up and it being beautiful and having maybe a glass of Prosecco and an attendant who was really caring about you and listening to what you were saying. But you actually, at least in New York City, I felt it almost feels like you're cattle. Like there's just, you realize how many brides there are, how many people have your same date, how many people are getting married on a farm in New Jersey.
Yes.
And like, you know what I mean? And it takes away that like special, unique feeling that you have as soon as you're pushed into that like...
Right. What's your budget?
Experience.
Exactly. What's your budget? What's your date? Like, yeah.
It almost feels like every day in those shops is like Black Friday at a Target. Like, it's just like, it's that mentality. Yeah. Like, I gotta get it. I have to run. And then there's always like some random mom of someone else's bridal party who's like, oh, you look gorgeous. And you're like, just don't talk to
me. You're like, please don't talk to me. I'm very unhappy right now. So. Yeah. And when you guys went to try on for the first few times, did you bring family, like brides? Like, did you bring a posse to get their opinions as you tried on?
So, okay, I had a weird experience with this, but I did have a very magical, you know, experience where the attendant was really wonderful.
Oh, that's good.
You know, and I was in Dallas for my grandfather's 90th birthday, and I just got engaged. And so,
yeah, you found your dress so early.
It was insane, because also after watching you, I was like, I'm in for, like, you know, 9 months of just hell and white. And I was committed to, like, doing what you did, just, like, make it. I was basically to imitate your wedding. But anyway, so I went with my cousin, my closest cousin, Jaina, and my mom and my dad, and we were just going to go and try on, because I had no freaking clue what I wanted. And thought I wanted like some drum at the bottom that I couldn't get off the little podium, and it wasn't like that great. But there was champagne, and the attendants were really wonderful. And
your dress is sickening.
Sickening. So it was like the 10th dress that I tried on, and
okay.
I cried. I totally cried.
That was my next question. Drink if you cried when you found the
drinking.
One. Okay. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you guys both cried. That's adorable.
But then I wasn't committed. I was like, oh, this is great. It's not it, but I'm. You know, we're getting close.
Yeah.
And then I tried on, like, a couple more that I had thought had, like, more of what I wanted. And I was like, no, I can't move. Put me back in the other one.
Yeah.
Put on the veil. I'll call it a day.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was, like, one day, 20.
Yeah. You kind of know it when you see it. I mean, I didn't cry because I ended up designing my own. So I kind of knew exactly, like, what I wanted and how it was going to turn out. But I do think it's very – I think it starts out as fun. And then, Stephanie, if you get to where we got to, it starts to just become –
numbing.
Hell.
Yeah. Numbing. You start, like, putting on so many white dresses that it's, like, you're emotionally desensitized to it at one point. You're just like, okay, well, here's another white dress, and here's another one. And then all of a sudden, like, the price points also start fading into each other, too. Like, at one point, I literally found myself seriously considering a $20,000 dress. Whoa. When my budget was, like, 10 to start, and even that was really pushing it.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm going to wear this for 6 hours, and this isn't even exactly what I want. Like,
right.
It's just, it's insane, but you get to this point where you're, like, so stressed about finding the dress.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what? Like, it looks good. Like, the tailoring is nice. And that's the other part is, like, we're so used to buying dresses because it sits nicely in the fitting
right,
room.
Right, right.
But this is all just, like, clips and, like...
Right,
you,
right.
You have to, like, really imagine, like, what it'll actually
yes,
look like.
Yes, I mean, I think it's really interesting that you bring up this thing about the price point, because you reach a point where you realize you are a part of, what do they call it, the bridal industrial complex, right? So there is a whole industry that is... It's kind of predatory, right? So they know that... You're a princess and this is the day you've dreamed of. So even though it's a white dress that had, you know, if it weren't a wedding dress, it would be a third of the price.
Literally.
Because it's a wedding dress and this is your fantasy, you're going to pay that much more. And there's so much of like upselling that happens and a lot of just, we're just selling the dream. And I feel it kind of bristles, like you kind of want to push against that.
Totally.
Or at least I wanted to, which is why I think I just found a dressmaker. But it's very real out here.
Yeah.
And those bridal salons.
Oh my gosh. One of my like biggest pet peeves through the whole process was like, I found all the dresses came strapless so that if you wanted straps, you had to pay extra.
It was almost like
making it buying your car and like getting like powered windows. Do you know what I mean? Like that's how I felt. It's
right.
Like, this is silly. Like just have at least one dress with sleeves. Like,
oh, they had, yeah. I didn't want strapless and I could not find.
Yeah.
Anything.
Anything.
Yeah. But I'm convinced it's because they can upsell you on the sleeves.
Interesting. That's what
I don't know, though. The only thing that I will say about the, you know, kind of just upselling because they know they can, it's also just because, like, I think it's out of ignorance, too. It's a really old school, backwards industry. And so
yeah.
If you can negotiate, hell yeah. You
oh, yeah.
Educate some people, it's amazing.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point, Avery. Okay, last drinking question. Drink if you have woken up in the middle of the night having a panic attack about wedding planning.
All right.
Okay, yes. And Avery, you're very, like, calm, cool, and collected, so... But it's... Wedding planning is stressful, and I feel like people don't tell you that.
They tell you, but they don't tell you how it's going to stress you out.
Right,
like,
right.
They're like, it's going to be this nebulous, stressful thing.
Yes.
Enjoy.
Yes, and it's like... It's like homework that you never turn in. It's like just an assignment that's never done that's just hanging over you, and you lose sleep over it. It's like a very real thing.
For
so
sure.
While you're supposed to be, you know, the most beautiful and happy that you've ever been in your life, you're also planning this incredibly stressful event.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting, interesting time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they say planning a wedding with a partner is such a great test for marriage, because you're talking about money, you're talking about family, you're talking about... who you are as a couple. People say that kind of your wedding is like your brand positioning as a couple.
Right?
Like,
it totally is.
Like, who are
it
we?
Is.
Are we like that casual, cool couple, or are we that formal, conservative couple? Like, and it's all very real, and it comes out in arguments about the invitation.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, all of those things, you know, Avery, we were talking about cardstock. You know, I never thought that there would be a time in my life where I spent 3 hours looking at the thickness of paper for cardstock, but that happened to me, and it's not fun.
Oh, yeah, Brooke, remember those invitations that I love that I sent you?
Yeah, I love
those.
Yeah,
we're not getting those.
Why?
Because that was the project I gave my parents.
I have so many stories about that time.
I never want to talk about invitations like
okay.
ever again.
Okay. We'll move on. Let's go back to the dress. You guys both, I assume, do not want your future husbands, fiancés, to see your dress before the moment you come down the aisle, correct?
No. But I was considering going shopping with him that time, because I really wasn't...
Really?
Because I had no intention of buying, and I don't know, but in hindsight.
Yes, yeah.
Very pro-no.
I showed Matthew, like... 73 of the 74 that I tried on, and like thinking that I was gonna buy one of them, almost like
that's...
obnoxiously testing him, like just
yeah.
like not telling him which ones I liked and stuff to see.
was really passive aggressive.
But then when I found like the one and felt like it was the one,
yeah,
it was like
I totally kept it from him.
I don't even have the urge to
yes.
show him. It's so funny how that switch happened.
Maybe that's like how you know it's the one,
yeah.
when you want to kind of keep it close to the vest. How much did you consider what your partner would think of you in the dress, in the selection of the dress?
Oh my God, it was like front and center. The
really?
Whole, oh yeah, completely.
Yeah, me too.
So that's really interesting.
He almost described it to a T. He's like, I think I know what you're wearing. And he almost described Almost exactly.
I played that game with my husband, and I asked him to describe it, and he was so off. And I was like,
"This is dead on."
That's kind of creepy. Are you sure you haven't seen it?
Right. I mean, whatever. We have very similar design sense. And I mean, like, he designed my ring. He just threw out an idea for a cool band. I mean, it's. I think.
That's really cool. So you guys thought about how your husbands would.
Yeah,
sorry, your fiancés now, but you guys kept in mind their preferences and tried to kind of adhere to that.
Totally.
Well, it wasn't so much, I think it's more so that we have very similar design abilities as opposed to like, you know, but I did know that he had certain preferences for like hard nose.
What were his hard nose?
Really didn't want a ball gown, which I didn't really want either. So like none of this was an issue, but like same thing with what he's wearing. I have some hard nose.
Well, what are your hard nose for him?
I don't want him in like something, I don't know, just not like no flair. I need him to have like a little bit of business.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, that was kind of it, but
can I
good fitting.
Yeah. So I can laugh about it now, but it cost a huge, huge pre-wedding fight between Umut and I. Tears.
Really?
And I'm not joking. And you guys will understand, but you guys were both at my wedding.
Yeah.
It was in Tuscany. It was a black tie wedding. We were talking to the wedding planner about me coming down the aisle. And, you know, I came down with my father. We had these, you know, rose petals scattered. And he was like, what about my entrance? And as you guys know, it's all about the bride.
Yeah.
He didn't get that memo. He wanted to do his entrance on a skateboard.
Okay.
And I was like,
it's just not a brand.
I was like, I was just like, for me, it was just a flat out no.
Yeah.
And he was very like, so you can do whatever you want, but I'm not allowed to express myself. And I'm like, are you, and I was like, literally, like, are you doing this to be like, are you testing me right now?
What?
Because I'm not going to pass this test. You can't. And I still to this day don't know if it was a test or not. I think had I said yes, like, would he have actually shipped his skateboard to Italy to come down? But I was so appalled. And it caused like a real fight between us. But it's something that fight that we had was actually very illuminating for me because it made me realize that there is so much attention put on the bride and it's easy for the guy to feel like he's just an accessory in the background.
Totally.
And so now I actually make a conscious effort at weddings to tell the groom, you look really great. You know, like it's really important to make sure that, you know, girls get all of this attention and love and it's all about them. But I think it's really nice to check in with the groom-to-be and let him have a little bit of that special feeling and make sure he does a facial or a spa day. You know, just something so he feels special, like it's not just about the bride, even though we know between us girls that it is all about the bride.
But also, I mean, just like making sure that people know that, like both the bride and the groom know that you appreciate the attention to detail that went into it. And I thought that your wedding was really nice, but, you know, he did a lot of the speeches. You know,
yes, like
it was,
yeah. We very much planned it together.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of opinions, which at the time was annoying, but I'm happy in the end because it reflected both of our personalities.
Right.
So in choosing your wedding dress, wedding look, I know what both of your dresses look like, and again, no spoilers, but how did your dresses couldn't be more different. How did you guys decide if you wanted to be sexy versus conservative and classic?
I really wanted...
You're going to look very hot.
Yeah.
No spoilers, but you're going to look very hot at your wedding. Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, I dress pretty conservatively a lot of the time.
Right, right.
And so I really wanted... And that was the one thing. He was like, listen, I'm sure you'd look great in a ball gown. And I tried on a couple ball gowns and I thought they were great, but I kind of wanted to be sexy and I knew that he wanted me to look a little bit more sexy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of just...
It just worked
great.
Out. Okay.
You don't have a back? Awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
We're having a Catholic wedding.
So okay.
That
yeah.
definitely dictated a lot and probably informs my need for sleeves. But yeah. And so
I love sleeves. Yeah.
Kind of. I don't know. For me, it was very much like there's never another occasion where I'd ever feel comfortable like wearing a ball gown, wearing like a big poofy thing. So
yeah.
I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
It's the one time. Like,
yeah.
Let's do it. It'll be kind of fun.
Yeah. And I think it makes it classic and timeless in a way that's really nice to look back on.
There's no right way to do it. Yeah. There's no wrong. I mean, I felt glorious in a ball gown.
And then, so after I got over figuring out the dress, which felt like it took 12,000 years, then it comes to the veil. And then I didn't know all the vocabulary about the veils and the veil lengths and then the, blusher, and then the clip that goes in it. And then they were like, do you want French lace edging? And I was like, oh my God, I don't know all of this book. Dresses I know because I shop all the time. I follow fashion. I felt within my comfort zone. How did you guys feel when it came to the veil discussion? And did you pick your veil as you picked your dress?
I picked my veil as I picked my dress.
Okay.
And in hindsight, some of those like nights where I wake up panicking has actually been about the veil.
Oh my God.
Because I just bought the one they stuck on me, when I had the dress on, because I was so like into the dress. And it's like, it's cathedral length, but it's like pretty plain. All of a sudden I was like, wait, do I want a blusher? Should I have a blusher? Now I didn't get a blusher. Do I want it to be more elaborate? Like, so I'm starting to have like second guesses on the veil.
Okay. How about this? I have a blusher and some lace and shit.
We can try.
Yeah. So oh, no, I'll give you something borrowed.
My veil is upstairs under my bed. Something borrowed. Let's talk about that. So another thing I didn't know about. It's what? Something new.
Something borrowed. Something blue. Something new. Something borrowed. Something blue. No. Wait, what's
no? Something. One? Something old. Something new. Something borrowed. Something blue.
There
okay,
you go.
Okay. You get an A plus in bridal school. So what are you guys doing for all of those things? Or have you even thought that far ahead?
I wanted to do blue shoes, but I ended up, possibly have to see if I can actually, like, stuff them enough, like, foot padding to make them work, but my cousin's shoes, so that could be borrowed. It's a lot of borrowed. I don't really have a lot of stuff that's, like, new or old.
Yeah. It's kind of, again, like, one of those stressful, another thing on my to-do list that I don't want to think about.
The reason why I think I've been okay about the process for the most part is because, like, when we come to that sort of thing, if it's not working, I'm not forcing it. Because I don't, hard. I don't have time.
Exactly. And also, yeah, I think not forcing tradition is a huge, huge thing. There were so many elements when I was planning my wedding that people asked, oh, so what are you doing for the bouquet toss? And I was like, I'm not going to do a bouquet toss. Like, I'm not going to do that because I don't even know what that means. And like, I don't feel comfortable with it. And I'm not. So there are all these expectations about what you should do. And I think it's really up to each bride to figure out what works for her and take what you want. And then the rest just throw away.
Yeah. Oh, show.
In terms of parents, how, I know, it's a big one. How much pressure do you guys feel to please them in terms of the decisions you make for the wedding?
I know that they'll trust me in the end.
Yeah.
Talking, oh my God, listeners. So I had a vision, very clear vision, what I thought was a very clear vision of like what I wanted the bridesmaids and like me to look like.
Yeah.
No one freaking got it, including the bridesmaids and my mother, who thought I was, gonna go run off crazy. And Brooke put together like just a PowerPoint. Like,
I did. A mood board.
Yeah, a mood board of what everything would look like. And finally, like, people got it. And so that was really good. But outside of that, I realized that I understand why you were pretty quiet about a lot of your decisions.
Yeah. Some unsolicited opinions come fast and furious.
Yeah.
And they're not that helpful.
No, they're not.
All the time.
It's a lot of, like, here's a problem. Have fun finding a solution.
Exactly. And Stephanie, what about you? How involved have your parents been?
Well, so we're getting married in Prague, which is where my parents live.
So nice.
Which is really nice. It also makes them feel like de facto wedding planners, which has been really tough. And then, especially since my parents, like, for a living, they do, like, a big event planning.
Oh, really?
They, like, run a music festival. So they have, like, it's all of their friends that they're trying to, like, use the catering guy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So it's, like, very difficult because they're the best. Like, the catering guy that they have is amazing, and I love him. But, like, my parents don't see the need to have a contract with him or, like...
Because they know him personally.
Exactly.
Yes.
But that doesn't jive. Well,
it's uncomfortable.
Okay for me,
yeah.
But it's really not okay for my fiancé, right? Because he doesn't understand that relationship or have trust in it, which I
right.
totally get.
Right.
So I am, like, kind of always in the middle between them and just basically, like, don't tell anyone anything that's happening and, like, go behind everyone's backs and I'm, like, signing contracts left and right.
Oh my gosh.
So it's been interesting. I would say about once a month my parents and I have, like, a blow-up fight. We have a wedding planner finally, and, like, I basically booked her, like...
Can we stop there?
Yeah.
Can you girls both, from all three of us, explain how important it is to have a wedding planner? Because I know a ton of brides who go and saying, I'm not going to get a wedding planner, but please, let's just spend a moment to talk about how critical it is.
If nothing else, just you have kind of just a reality check.
Yes.
Yes.
And, I mean, also, so I used to do a lot of events for work, and obviously not weddings, but, like, big events. And so I knew that planning an event wasn't stressful, but I knew that, you know, negotiating with vendors and, like, you know, day of kind of shit would be... not what I wanted to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So I was cool with, like, a day of wedding planner. And then, because of the advice of every single freaking person I spoke to, who was like, she will pay for his or herself.
Yes,
like,
yes, yeah.
It's over.
Cut out what you need to on everything else. And when you're doing your budget, a wedding planner is probably...
I grilled planners. Yeah. Like, that was, like... number one, gotta have someone who's on top of their shit.
Yeah, a good planner makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Okay, Stephanie, we interrupted you. Continue.
No, you're good. No, I mean, I was just saying, like, I booked my wedding planner as basically a way to save my family. Like, it's like, she's our common enemy. Even if I love her, right? But it's like, we can, like, put all the bad things on her instead of taking it on each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
funny. Like, common enemy.
She's like an emotional punching bag, but, like, it's just, like, a necessity during this time period.
It's a much needed buffer, I think.
Yes.
I think. So in terms of the lead up to the wedding day, I've seen these crazy timelines where they're like 6 months before, start exfoliating daily and working on your upper arm toning, and, like, you know, there are all these crazy timelines.
Yep.
How much thought have you guys put into prep, pre-wedding beauty prep, and have you made any investments, whether that is a gym membership, a fitness package, laser hair removal, you know, whatever treatments, looking ahead of your wedding?
You're just reminding me to do all of those things.
I don't know. I've taken the approach of, like, if I'm gonna invest, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 in a dress, like, what's inside of the dress needs to be extra beautiful, because the dress isn't gonna, like, make up for anything.
Interesting. That's a good justification. Yeah.
So I have, like, I joined Equinox.
Nice.
To supplement the Soul Cycle, because I was just, like, only doing the Soul Cycle, which isn't great. And have been doing the, like, Kayla Tsina's, like, Bikini Body Guide, the BBG program.
Oh, I've heard great things about that program.
I actually really like it. I really do like it. Been good.
We went to Physique together.
We went to Physique, and now I'm going again on Sunday.
Okay, so proud of you.
I literally saw results, like, right away.
Yes, it's amazing.
I was so sore. So I'm going to do Physique.
Okay.
And then for, like, beauty prep, I've been, like, totally addicted to the Korean skincare.
Yes, yes, you brought some today. I'm so excited to try mine.
Yeah. And I literally do one 5 nights a week.
Nice. So you're doing a lot of at-home self-care, which
I feel like I'll ramp it up as we get closer. But for now, this was like an Amazon purchase. I got like 70 different kinds of masks for like $10. Not $10.
Korean beauty masks,
right? Yeah, exactly.
What's the brand called?
I have no idea how to even read it.
That's just a Korean thing. Okay.
They're literally just, I bought a bunch of different ones. I can, like, send you my favorite one is the Black Pearl mask. I think that's the best one. The jellyfish ones are really good, but you can't get them on Amazon. So you have to have a friend who's going to Korea. But my maid of honor lives in Hong Kong, so she sends them to me.
Ooh, nice.
So that's a good one.
It's a good maid of honor.
Yeah. But yeah, those face masks have at least made me feel like I'm taking care of something, so it has, like, minimized stress a little bit. And you have to lie, like, still for 20 minutes too, which
is
good
for you. It's good for your nerves. Yeah. I got really good advice from my dermatologist ahead of the wedding to not try anything crazy and new too close to the wedding. Mm-hmm. So I did microdermabrasion before, but I think I did my first treatment 6 months before the wedding just to see how my skin would react to it. And a lot of brides will try something wildly experimental a month before their wedding, and it just messes everything up.
Yeah, I mean, also, full disclosure, I've been kind of a skin addict since
you have perfect skin
since birth. So, I mean, you know, I'm doing a peel tomorrow. That's not really.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Play a new experimental thing.
A chemical peel?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I've done a lot of different kinds. And the one that kind of you have to stay inside for a few days because it's really terrifying. Mm-hmm. have done that one a couple times. This one I really like. I think it's just my dermatologist's mix of random acids that burn off some stuff. It's awesome. Yep. Love it.
The more gruesome, the better results. The more like dead skin you have shedding from your face, the better.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm down. Just sign me up.
Wait, so have you guys heard about this like baby foot thing? Is this weird?
Oh, of course. I've done it.
You've done it?
I've done it.
Is it amazing?
It's honestly, I was so eager for my feet to start peeling. Okay, so let's give some background. So this thing is, I don't know, is it an Asian beauty product?
Yes, it is.
It's called Baby Foot.
Yeah.
And you basically, I did it about.
Sounds like something I need.
2 months ago, yeah. So you put your feet into these plastic booties filled with all of these different like fruit acids. You definitely like can't touch your face or anything. It's like very toxic. But like for your feet, it's fine. You keep them in these little plastic booties for about 20 minutes, and then you have to wear socks every night. And then what's very kind of it makes you a little bit impatient. You have to wait 72 hours for the shedding to begin. But once it begins, you're like a snake. It is sheets of skin that are like peeling from your feet. I got into this vortex of watching all of these online reviews and YouTube videos, and I was just so desperate for the peeling to happen. So I was, in the end, I was a little bit disappointed with my lack of, like, full... I mean, people were, like, peeling off their feet. Like,
I'm going to do this.
I really want to do it.
It's really fun. You guys should do it. You should do it. Why not?
Well, how did you screw up, though? Like, what did you do wrong?
I didn't screw up. I just didn't have the, you know, crazy results that all of these people online had that were, like, uploading YouTube videos. Like, my skin definitely peeled a lot, and my feet were super soft afterwards.
Did you have a lot of stuff to slough before?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I did this in the summer. So one, it was sandal season and I had been walking around in sandals a lot, which like makes the bottom of your feet really hard. So that's why I did it. But then it was annoying when the peeling began because I couldn't have my feet exposed. So I was just in closed-toed shoes. It's good to do in the winter, honestly. Mm-hmm. You guys should try it. You can order it. It's cheap. Baby foot. Yeah. Another crazy thing that women do.
I know what we're doing tonight.
What about like skin lasers, cosmetic surgery? I've been very open on the podcast that I did Restylane under my eyes, which made very like not noticeable difference to anyone who knows me, but I know the difference. And I did it very recently, so I haven't done it. I didn't do it before. I didn't do anything before my wedding, but I know a lot of women get Botox or Restylane before the wedding. Have you guys thought about that?
So what does Restylane do?
It's not something you need. It basically, it plumps up. So like, because I have hollows under my eyes, it basically fills in that area. And people go to the extreme with it. One, it was very expensive. And two, like I didn't want for it to look like I had anything done. So I did a very conservative amount. But it basically just like plumps up areas. A lot of women do Botox, like around their crow's feet, so that when they're smiling in pictures. I mean, for me, it's like the pictures are going to be airbrushed anyway.
This is my face.
Exactly.
But, no, I mean, again, also, like, I've been pretty experimental for a while. You know, like, I would consider doing, because I did cool sculpt before.
Yes. I've been reading so much about cool sculpting.
It was really good when I actually lost weight. Mm-hmm. It makes it a little bit more, more flat, but it's not like, it's not going to do wonders.
Yeah, it's not like liposuction.
Right. Like, but I would do it again, you know, with like an extra precaution. Mm-hmm. Also, I'm trying to think what else I would do. Let's just.
I got my teeth whitened before.
I think I'm going to do that.
I might do that, but I have veneers.
Oh, do you? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I remember I broke my teeth and had to. This was not optional. but also, Ben and I had a very deep conversation about Botox in the armpits.
Sweating.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. And some women do it in their feet so that their shoes don't hurt.
What?
You guys didn't know that? It's one of the most common red carpet tricks. So, like, women that have to stand on the red carpet at the Oscars for hours, like, they'll get Botox on their feet.
My jaw is literally on the table.
Correction. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah. A lot of brides do it. You get Botox in your feet so that you don't feel, your heels don't hurt. Anything. Yeah.
Can it cause any damage?
No. It's totally safe. It's indulgent, right? Like, there aren't a lot of women that wear heels so much that they need it, but... For a bride.
Matthew would be thrilled. This is like the one like cost item he would like immediately approve. He'd be like, you can wear heels all the time now.
Exactly. I don't know how long it lasts. I've never done it, but I've heard great things.
Okay, yeah. So just that. Sign me up for that.
Yeah. Nice. So in terms of your wedding day look, have you guys decided hair up, hair down? Have you thought that far ahead?
Yeah, I actually need your help, kind of.
Okay.
I need another mood board.
Yes, I'm on it. I'm on it.
So, by the way, listeners, Brooke's my maid of honor.
Yes, honored.
But, I want kind of, like, really crazy, curly, up-ish, but just, like, I fell out of a meadow somewhere.
Yeah, love that. Yeah. Love that. I mean, we both have very curly hair. My hair is obviously, like, kinkier than yours, but I think that if you have curly hair, you have to just embrace it. Like, you can't... Well, there are no rules. Do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. If you want to have stick straight hair on your wedding, if your hair is curly, do that. But I really wanted to lean into the curliness and just make it even more fabulously curly. Stephanie, you have incredibly straight hair. Your hair couldn't be straighter.
Yeah, it's like a little bit wavy because I had it in a braid last night.
So what have you decided? Are you going to wear it down or...
You know, I think I feel like I haven't gotten my hair cut in 6 months because I want to keep optionality around.
But you know, you can always add tracks.
I know, but
are you
going to
add extensions?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay. Have you ever done extensions?
No.
Okay, so you may feel differently if you see yourself with extensions.
Is it crazy amazing?
It's crazy. It's crazy amazing.
I'm actually going on Friday to go get more.
Yeah.
Really?
You should just try it.
Yeah, try it.
Try it once. I gave Rachel the name of the woman, Barbara, who does my hair, and she like literally went up to Harlem and got tracks put into her hair.
Oh my god.
Was that when Rachel got like the drastic haircut that was maybe an inch?
Yeah. But extensions can be kind of addicting.
I'm sure.
But I mean, you have beautiful hair. You don't need to add to it at all.
I don't know. I think I'm gonna go up. But like a low up.
Ah, very chic. Like very chic.
Like a low bun, yeah.
Ah,
exactly.
Yeah. Love me a bun.
One of the things, Avery, it was your friend Tamora, who is a makeup artist, who gave this advice about how when you're young and you're getting married, you actually should just show your skin because your skin is going to be the thing that ages. And when you look back at your wedding photos, you're going to say, wow, I had such beautiful skin. So don't cover it up with a bunch of foundation and all of this crap. Have you guys thought about... if you want your makeup to be natural and kind of makeup that's there but not there, or if you want to do a dramatic makeup look, like a smoky eye or a red lip.
All right, just to clarify here, I want it to look natural.
Right.
But not be natural.
Yeah,
like,
I hear you.
You know, my cheeks are always really red, so I'd rather make sure that that's not coming through when I'm already going to be just... not just a blushing bride, just like a beet red, like not cute bride.
Yeah.
So I'd like to control that a bit.
Okay. I hear you. And crying is something that I was not expecting to cry at all. And I didn't prepare for it at all. But it's something that you should keep in mind when you're thinking about your wedding day makeup. you know, if you have a strip of lashes and you're going to be crying and they start getting all crooked. I mean, that didn't happen to me, but I think makeup is tough on your wedding day.
Yes.
Because you don't want it to be such a statement that it becomes dated, but you also want to have amazing makeup.
And I think ultimately you want to just, like, be the best you, not someone different on your wedding day. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm, like you, like, also, like, kind of going for that natural look, just, like, a better natural.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, but also just, like, you know, you're getting married at this time, so if it happens to be a little bit dated, I'm kind of cool with that. Like,
yeah.
I think my mom looked adorable.
When did, was this the 80s?
Oh, yeah.
Did she have, like, big puffy 80s. Sleeves?
No, but it was...
You know, did she have, like, big hair?
She had, like, a little hat.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
With, like, gloves.
Yeah, no, she had gloves, too. Oh, my God. With, like, the mesh gloves.
Oh, my God, I
but
love
she
that. She
looked adorable.
Were they, like, fingerless mesh gloves? Because that would be incredible.
No, that would have been amazing, but it was, like, you know, real close.
Yeah, I think there is something to say for embracing the time that you're getting married, right? And not trying to go overboard, erasing any indication of the time. In terms of one thing that I hadn't thought about, there's an amazing guy in London. He works at Fortnum & Mason. He's their fragrance expert. And I was living in London when I got engaged, and he was like, so what's your wedding day fragrance? And I was like, I did not think about that. And he was like, it's very important. Like, you have to think about your wedding day fragrance. Have you guys thought that far ahead?
So I have, but maybe that's, like, for two reasons. One, because I bought my dress at Vera Wang, and, like, so they give you the Vera wedding book and, like, a Vera, like, perfume.
Oh, wow.
I do kind of want to take this opportunity to, like, set my fragrance for life. Because I feel like...
Set the tone for...
Before now, I've just kind of been, like, bouncing around from perfume to perfume.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this would be, like, a good time as I transition from Linka to Sharp to, like,
set your fragrance.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I really like that idea. I mean, I've been pretty consistent in, like, the kind of stuff that I like in terms of fragrances. I mean, I always sort of want it to smell like a salad.
Nice. Like, fresh green scents,
like, I want it to be just green.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe I could pick a more pointed point of view for that.
Yeah, it's something that I hadn't thought about until I was asked. And in terms of your bridesmaids, I mean, I know that having gone through this before, it can be stressful figuring out what you want all of your bridesmaids to look like. And I think you guys are all taking a very similar approach that I took as well in terms of not having matching dresses. I felt that that was very... Spice Girls, girls band, like, for everyone to be in the same exact dress, just even the thought of it. And all of my bridesmaids had very different skin tones and body types. It wasn't going to work. So I really wanted to empower the bridal party to choose their own dresses within guidelines. And it sounds, you guys have kind of taken that same approach, right?
Yeah, wait, what's your deal? What are you doing?
Pastel colors, just long and, like...
For me, it feels really modern. I know at first... I think my mom was sort of like, so they're all going to wear different dresses? And I was like, yeah, and it's going to be great. And when she saw everyone, she was like, everyone looks great. I think that you want your bridesmaids to feel pretty.
Yeah.
And you want them to buy something that's within their price range that they could conceivably wear again and not force some bridesmaid's dress on them. I've never been a bridesmaid in a wedding, so I don't know what that's like to have something forced on you, but I know I would not like that.
Also, the way that they, you know, make the bridesmaid dresses to fit every body type.
Yeah.
It fits everyone
badly.
Horribly.
Yeah.
It's like not an empire.
Yeah.
It's not like at the waist.
Yeah. Horrible. I've heard, I guess this is a conspiracy theory, and I don't know if it's true, but I've heard that bridesmaids' dresses are ugly because brides want to look better than everyone else. Do you guys think that's true?
Sometimes think that could be true. I've been to a few weddings where that feels very true.
Really? Because for
messed up.
I know.
Don't you just want everyone to look amazing?
I want everyone to look amazing. And also, listen, I'm the only bitch in white, so.
Oh my God.
Hopefully.
Wow.
I can't imagine anything more offensive than attending a wedding in even a shade, even a cream, don't even wear silver. Let the bride have her color. And, you know, I went to a wedding this summer in Italy, in Amalfi Coast. It was so hot. Everyone was, like, you know, sweating everywhere. And it very tempting to wear white. You're in you know, a beautiful area in the Mediterranean, very tempting to wear white, but you just don't do it. And the amount of women that I saw wearing cream and ivory, I was just like, what are you guys doing? Why do you think this is okay?
It's awful. I mean, I went to a wedding 3 weeks ago where one woman wore like a white gown that could have been a wedding dress, and she had just gotten married 3 weeks before the bride.
On.
And like, she was like here on her honeymoon, like from Australia.
What?
And so it was just really one of those things where it's like, you actually don't want to let go of your bridal moment. You're like still carrying your bridal moment into someone else's, and it's so rude.
It's so rude. So I can't think of anything more rude than wearing white to a wedding.
You just absolutely can't. It's a complete no-no.
I can't think of anything that's, in terms of wedding etiquette, I can't think of a single thing that's worse.
I've been to over 50 weddings.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I've been to a lot of weddings. And so, like, back, there are, like, a couple, I haven't fully gone down, like, the Google, like, rabbit hole of reading people's stories, but thinking back on weddings that I've been to, like, really uncomfortable father of the bride speeches are horrific. Like when you're sitting and if they're trying to act something out, like I've been to one wedding where he like pretended to get a call from like Steve Jobs, who all of a sudden wanted to marry his daughter. And he was like, oh wait, our wedding's off because Steve Jobs wants to marry our daughter. And you're just like, this is
God,
horrific.
That's so awkward.
Yeah. So that's really bad. Another wedding where the mother of the bride or the mother of the groom wore a white dress that was like incredibly sexy. She was like divorced.
No.
And she had like a plunging white, like just like gown. She looked great. I mean, it was just like real. And the bride was kind of like dumpy.
Well,
God. That was horrific.
So fucked up.
I was telling Stephanie this weekend that wedding planning is horrible, but there are two kind of bright spots in the whole. So that your wedding day is actually, and I always hated when women said it was it's the happiest day of my life, because I was like, your life is really sad if that was as good as it got. But I can honestly say, being on the other side of it, it was the happiest day of my life.
Happy
because
day of my life. Amazing.
Thank you. But you're surrounded by friends and family, and you're making this public declaration of love. It's just a beautiful, and you feel so present and in the moment, and it's like time stops, but it also goes by so fast. It really is an amazing moment. So your actual wedding day, after all of the hell of planning, is great. The tasting, when you do the tasting with the caterer, because I love food, that was a great day. But then your honeymoon is awesome. Honeymoons are just an amazing excuse to go somewhere really over the top and do nothing but what you and your husband want to do. You get to call him your husband when you check in, like, checking in. My husband's in the lobby. Like, could you please page him? It's like very, you know, it feels very kind of official. Have you guys thought about your honeymoon yet?
Yes. We are booked.
Okay, nice.
So we're going to Fiji in May.
So fun.
After I graduate from grad school.
Nice. And I also think packing for your honeymoon is really fun because it's like you get to spend a lot of indulgent time into like being the sexiest new wife.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about that.
Yeah.
I've already made some significant investments.
Swimsuit shopping?
I'm so excited.
Yeah. It's a great, great time. And then the other thing, which I didn't really spend a whole lot of time on, but I know it's really exciting for women that like lingerie, but bridal lingerie.
Yes, I'm in a deep hole right now.
Really?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so beautiful, and like, when else are you gonna buy a bustier? And I mean, I didn't do this stuff because I probably should have. I'm like lazy, but all of the like bridal lingerie is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, Provocateur has.
I love Asian.
That's amazing.
Now comes the time where I ask you guys the best bridal advice that you've received, or like bridal trends that you think are really great. What's the best advice you've gotten?
it's so split. I think that this is bad. The two best advice that I've gotten are like completely polar opposite. One is, a wedding is about a lot of people in your family, and it's a lot of people's day. But the other is that, like, it's your wedding. Which I think kind of maybe is a lot of the reason why I'm having stress internally.
Yes, yeah.
But it is, there are those two competing things, and I think it's always important to remember that. Like, when your parents are down your neck, it's like, they are giving a lot of money to this, and it is, like, their moment to see their daughter get married, and, like,
they can pick the cardstock.
Exactly. Like, there are so many things in a wedding that, like, when you actually think about it, if you're too into the weeds, like, you don't really care about your napkins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, let your mom
do
that.
Right. If there's someone who does care, let them step in and
exactly.
have that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then, and that's why it's such good advice, because at the end of the day, it is about what you want. It's your wedding at the end of the day. So you have to kind of own that. It's good advice to employ when you're conflicted. So, like, when there's something you want to do that your family doesn't want to do, you're like, it's my day.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when there's something...
And then there's other things where you're like, oh, do I have to make a decision? Like, let... Because there's going to be someone who wants to make a decision who hasn't been able to yet. So, like, farm that out.
That's great. I think that's great advice. I think that's great advice.
Yeah. Actually, my family's taken to calling me the delegator for...
That's awesome.
That's great.
Because, like, you know, the invitations, I had some style preferences, but, like, didn't really care that much. So, mm-hmm. great. But I mean, in terms of making it kind of your own, one thing that Ben and I decided, and also mostly based on your wedding, we really liked having just one seated dinner just at one time so you can get to the dancing. Like, if your whole goal is to just get to the dancing faster, own it.
Yeah.
Like, that's great. So that was, you know, not really advice, but I definitely...
No, that's great advice. I think at the end of the day, your wedding is a celebration and a party, and you can get so into all of these little things like the place setting and the napkin holder and the calligraphy on the table cards. Have a great party.
Yeah.
No one's going to remember that stuff. Just make sure everyone has fun.
Yeah.
So I'm so excited to party at your wedding.
Also, pick a place. If you're someone who is not okay with having to pick out a bunch of stuff, pick a hotel that does weddings.
Ah, that's great advice. That's great advice.
You have to bring in, like, electricity in a kitchen. It's crazy.
Yeah, we had to do that. It's not fun. Okay, and now what's the worst either wedding advice or worst wedding trend that you just hate, or, like, horrible advice that you've seen other brides?
Freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, the bridezilla syndrome.
Yeah. Like, if it's not something you really care about, it's not worth you stressing about, because chances are people aren't going, like, if it doesn't serve some sort of utility function, like, if you need to pick a dance floor because otherwise there won't be one, then yes, you should pick one.
Mm-hmm.
But if it comes down to fonts, it's really traumatic for me.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I have a lot of sympathy for bridezillas in a way, because I think that our society puts very unrealistic expectations on the bride to get everything right and for everything to be perfect, and then we wonder why we create this phenomenon of the bridezilla. I mean, I think it's very important to have perspective, but I also get the irrational importance that's put on this one day.
I completely agree with you on that, especially since, like, you know, you get these packages from people with no line items. It's just like, this is how much our service costs. It's like, okay, flowers for your big day. I'm like, what the fuck is going into this?
Yes.
Like, oh, you mean I don't need 3 bridal bouquets? Like, one to toss, one to walk down the aisle, and one to, like, display prominently on the stage? Like, no, I don't need those.
Yeah.
And so... I do totally agree with that. It's like, it fuels it, because you think that, oh, well, I need flowers. No one told you to really, like, look into it.
Right.
My pro advice, look into it.
Yes. Ask for details. It's so hard to find out what things cost. That's another thing. There's not a lot of transparency.
Right. No, there's none.
Yeah. And what about you, Stephanie? Any bad wedding advice or bad wedding trends you've seen?
I think the worst thing that a bride can do is to forget that her bridesmaids are her friends and start referring to them, like, always as bridesmaids. Like, I've seen this recently. Like,
really?
Really? Like, even post-wedding refers to them
as bridesmaids.
And I think that's, like...
Yikes.
Like, they're your friends. They're always they're friends first. Like, this is not their job.
And if you want them to stay your friends,
your friends.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've heard stories about women that ask their bridesmaids to lose weight for their wedding.
No.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
This is my face. This is your body. Like, let's call it a day.
Yeah. Just because they want everyone to have a certain look A lot of friendships have been damaged.
Yeah,
with that relation.
And I think it weighs both ways, because I know, like, Rachel has told me she's a little bit frustrated that I don't just pick a dress, because it places
a
lot of onus.
She has two
let me tell you something. Everyone was freaking out with me. I literally said, pick a long red dress.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah.
And people were like, just tell us what to wear. I can't deal with this. But in the end.
So much easier.
Yeah. Just pick something you like.
Pick something you like. Yeah. I don't even care what color it is, as long as it's like a soft shade.
Yeah.
I'll choose like soft pink if you want.
I have been a little bit more difficult just because it's like floral, but.
Not really, but I think the freedom to choose your own really is nice because you're going to choose something that you know that you're going to look good in rather than reckoning with something that you have to pay for and you may not like.
Yeah.
So.
No, I mean, I love that dress
Oh, yeah. You looked really hot. Also, all of my bridesmaids looked really hot.
So hot. So good. In all the pictures, it's, like, amazing.
Yeah.
You guys just, like, clicked. And it's because you feel good in it. And you
pick
something that you love.
Exactly.
And your hair and makeup team was unreal. Yeah. I've never in my life got my hair and makeup done without retouching it myself.
Yeah, it's a big compliment coming from you because I know you take your makeup very seriously. I think one of the reasons why I think brides are usually so beautiful. I see brides. We live in Manhattan. How often do you guys see brides? I see brides on the street
I work in Dumbo. See a bride literally every 15 minutes.
And I always think brides are beautiful. Honestly, yeah. And I'm saying this from my heart. I wouldn't lie to you guys. I think all brides are beautiful because I think that there is something about being truly happy that just shows. It just shines from the inside out. Brides are beautiful. It's a beautiful moment. And
agreed.
I think every bride I've seen in person, I've just been kind of like...
And I love that. That's like a celebration of women, celebrating women. I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
So this is my last question I ask all of my guests. When do you guys feel the most beautiful? And I'm going to add something to that. And how do you think you can bring that feeling to your wedding day? So I can help you guys. I think most beautiful after... something calming like Pilates. I really love Pilates. It makes me feel very in touch with my body and centered. So Avery, you were the only one that did it with me. Thank you. And I think Amelia joined also, but we did yoga on the day of my wedding in the morning outside in the Italian garden. And it was like this very nice opportunity to kind of center myself and have a moment of calm before everything happened. And I think it made me feel better that day.
Yeah, actually, okay, so we do know each other very well, because I definitely do feel most beautiful after doing Pilates or Pilates style kind of workout, and I am stealing that idea, and yoga with Avery, morning of the wedding.
Oh, I think that's so great.
Thanks for getting married first, by the way. I just, like, steal all the good ideas.
Happy that I am of use.
So, my aunt has been such a, like, wonderful force in my wedding planning process, and she came here from Sweden, like, 2 weeks ago. She was here when I bought my dress, and she, like, came and she had, like, a whole bunch of questions that at first stressed me out, like, everything from, like, what are your wedding colors, and, like, I don't want wedding colors.
Yeah.
Not everything needs to be, like, two colors.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We're okay with that.
Yeah.
To, like, when she was going to give her speech and all this. She's just, like, one of her questions was, like, when are you making time for yourself the morning of? Because you need to be present. Like, what are you doing around, like, where is your, like, moment of peace?
Great question.
And, like, I feel most beautiful when I, like, come home after 6 a.m. soul cycle with Rike and, like, stare at myself in the mirror for, like, 30 minutes, like, dancing. Like, trying to find abs somewhere that don't exist. Doing my things, and she was like, okay, so Rike should be coming to the wedding. We should, like, teach you something before. I don't know if that can happen.
Do some pre-wedding dancing
but
in front of a mirror.
Like, I'm gonna take, like, 2 hours just to myself, like, morning of, to just be. And
I love that. Yeah, get the endorphins going.
Exactly.
I love that.
Well,
thanks, guys, so much. Any last bridal advice?
Enjoy yourself.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, just do it. What do you want to do?
Can't we just do it? Get married.
Let's get
married. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.